This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It's time for Speak Legal, conversations with community law Otago.
Well, chances are, if you've applied for a job or a voluntary position lately, you might have been asked to provide a police check, a check of your criminal record. Have you heard about the Clean Slate Act? I hadn't. It's got some interesting implications for police vetting. We thought we'd talk through it today with Carol O'Connor from Community Law Otago. Carol, kia ora, good to have you with us.
Kia ora, good to be here.
In a nutshell, what is the Clean Slate Scheme?
The Clean Slate Scheme is a very selective method whereby people who have possibly committed or been convicted of a relatively minor offence a long time ago, do not have to disclose that to any prospective employer or a volunteer manager.
Right, so when's that available?
Well, only in very limited circumstances. When it first came in, there was it was pretty straightforward in that you, if you had, say, a careless use of a motor vehicle conviction in 1986, you wouldn't have to disclose that to any prospective employer further down the track. So that was the idea behind it, and the reasoning behind it was that people who had done something silly a long time ago didn't need to have that endless disadvantage of the punishment of a conviction for the rest of their lives. So that was the idea behind it. But it was imposed very strictly on a very small section of offences. Things got a bit complicated, but later, because then we had police vetting come in, and that was to do with working in government or in early childhood or teaching or working with the elderly or other vulnerable adults. So the police vetting scheme fitted within the category of employment where you had to disclose in any event, and the Clean Slate Act didn't apply. But the police vetting scheme is actually a bit wider than just a straight conviction, and it can include any contact with the police that has been had over a previous period of time. So it got layered on top. But to go back to the Clean Slate regime, so basically, it was all about that if you had no further convictions within the last 7 years, you'd never gone to prison, you'd never been held in a psychiatric institution, you had never been convicted of a specified offence, which was mainly offending against children, that you'd paid off all your fines, and you'd never been indefinitely disqualified. So anything that wasn't seen as pretty serious offending or ongoing.
Right, and would that apply automatically?
Yes. Yes, you don't have to apply. We do get people coming in and saying, I want to have my convictions wiped, which is a completely different scenario. But I think people are talking about wanting to apply for the Clean Slate Act, but they don't have to. It's automatic after that seven-year period, so long all those other criteria have been has been fulfilled.
Right. All right, perhaps another way to look at it is when it doesn't apply, Carol.
Yeah. So when it doesn't apply to any kinds of three situations that it doesn't apply. One, if you're travelling overseas. You still have to declare to a foreign government any convictions that you've ever had. Secondly, if you're applying for a certain kind of job, and that involves being corrections, police, all kinds of law enforcement, security, childcare, and caring for the elderly, those sorts of situations where you're looking after vulnerable people. So it does not apply there. Then the third situation is that it is a minor offence that you haven't been to prison for. If you have gone to prison, it means your entire criminal record is always available.
Okay.
Mm.
Carol, perhaps you could tell us about the Family Violence Information Disclosure Scheme as well.
Yes. Yeah, that's not very well known about. And you know, there's a balance there between privacy and safety. So the idea behind the scheme is that if you are involved with, or if you have someone you're close to involved with, someone who may have a history of family violence or is behaving in ways that cause you concern and trigger the possibility that they've been involved in family harm incidents, you can actually go to the police and ask about that individual. It's up to the police on how they manage that request, and it's done on a case-by-case basis. But the reasoning behind it is because they obviously nobody wants another family harm incident, so they want to know whether or not there is a risk there to a person.
Right. And can anyone ask for disclosure?
Not really. I mean, there has to be some reason why you would be doing it. So you're either the person involved or a close friend, parent or relative of the person involved with this person who may have family violence history. So it's pretty strict about who can ask. You can't just go in and ask about any random person. And the Privacy Act controls the release of that information, and the police monitor that carefully. So they will consider it on a case-by-case basis. So there's no real sort of rule of disclosure that you can cite. It just, you can go to the police station or you can ring 105 and you can ask whether or not this person has been known to have a history of family violence for the purposes of keeping someone else safe.
All right. So let's just revisit how you do that again. Obviously, just calling in to the police station is one way to do it.
Yes. That's right. Or so any police station or any officer, or phoning 105, the non-emergency police number.
Right.
And three different ways of doing it.
Now, we've talked briefly about police vetting, and, you know, perhaps we could talk a little bit about what that actually means and what the process is there, because not everybody needs to do that when they're applying for any job, but it does apply in certain situations. No doubt several of our listeners have been asked to do that, but what actually takes place there?
Yeah, so the police vetting scheme is something that happens when you apply for usually a job that's going to involve one of the categories covered in the legislation: elderly, vulnerable, children, law enforcement. So it's already covered under the Clean Slate Act, if you like, as an exception. But also, what I'm not sure that is understood is that the police vetting process is a little bit different, in that you give your consent to having your details sent to the police for the purposes of a vetting process. So when you apply for a job, you usually sign off a written consent form. I consent to, you know, my details being forwarded to the New Zealand Police for a vet check, as they're usually called. Then the purpose of the vet check is to ensure the safety of those people covered under the legislation, you know, various bits of legislation to keep people safe, the elderly, children, law enforcement, prison officers, things like that. So all that happens is that the police vetting process, the police release information. They don't make any comment, they don't do any editing, they release the information. What I think people need to know, though, is that it doesn't just include a conviction list, and that's where asking for a copy of your criminal record is something a bit different from a police vetting process, because it doesn't just include any convictions you may have, whether they're covered by Clean Slate or not. By the way, if you have a conviction and it is covered by Clean Slate, it won't be released by the police.
Right.
However, not only convictions, it also covers police history of contact. with the police.
How interesting. Expand on that.
Yes. Well, when it came in, and when the scheme came in, we got a bit grumpy about it because we felt that people could be contacting the police as a victim, as a witness, or any other kind of associated person, and it didn't necessarily mean that the record would show that they were showing up for somebody else or that the issue was not them. So there's kind of this bland release of information to show that there has been some contact with the police as an associate of or as part of some kind of investigation. And that's where sometimes it can feel like someone's been convicted without trial. And it can set up some pretty awkward conversations. The whole point of this of doing all of this, of course, is for a full disclosure, everyone being safe. However, what happens next is entirely up to the employer to determine what they're going to do with that information or how it's going to affect considering that person for a job.
Right.
And that's where it can get really tricky, because if you've got a risk-averse employer and you've had someone who in the past was in with the wrong group of people, and but then they've come out of that and they've done all the work and they've moved on, they still can be possibly held back by the fact of that former association.
And presumably there's, yeah, I guess this gets tricky. There are limits to what, you know, a prospective employer can ask a prospective employee in an interview situation.
Well, there is a bit, although because that information has been disclosed, hopefully by the time of the interview, you would hope that you could have a free and frank discussion about it, and then it would be up to the police, the employer or the volunteer manager to determine whether or not this person is going to be okay to be doing what they're doing in the organisation.
Mm.
So that's the trickiest bit.
Who gets a copy of whatever comes back from the police? Do both parties? I mean, is it for you as the prospective employee to hand that over, or does it go to the employer?
No.
Right.
Yeah, the employer, after you've given your permission, the employer or the volunteer manager makes the application to the police.
Right.
Mm.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yes.
It can get
a bit thorny.
Yeah. Absolutely. I know that the team at Community Law Otago would deal with all sorts of questions around employment law. And
we do.
Yeah, it's interesting that you know, you've certainly, as far as I'm concerned, you've revealed some new stuff around this for me today. If anyone's, you know, got any concerns about what process might be legitimate around applying for a job, can Community Law help with that kind of thing?
Yes, of course. We certainly can.
And those things and many others too, as we find out each time we talk Speak Legal here on Otago Access Radio. Interesting, Carol. Thanks so much for bringing that to us today. I'm sure that'll generate some other questions and conversations for people out there. Do get in touch with Community Law Otago if you have any questions around some of the stuff that we've talked about today, more particularly, of course, if you are in the situation of applying for a position and you think some of the things we've talked about today might apply to you and you've got any concerns or questions around that. Thanks, Carol, for joining us today. We look forward to another edition of Speak Legal next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jeff.
Community Law Otago, free legal advice and support for the people of Otago. Advice clinic times are available from the website communitylawotago.com. We're based at 169 Princess Street. To make an appointment, call 03-474-1922. Community Law Otago, proud to bring you Speak Legal. Check out the podcast at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.